Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel.
These words of praise from Luke's gospel, called the Canticle of Simeon or the Nunc Dimittis, have been used as a part of evening prayer since the 4th century. Simeon speaks these words on behalf of the people of Israel in praise of God's fulfilled promises. Simeon and Anna are prophets. Both are filled with the Holy Spirit, given gifts to see with God's eyes and speak with God's voice. They have been waiting in a sort of prolonged Advent season to see God's promises to them fulfilled. They have been waiting to see for themselves how God will accomplish the redemption of the people of Israel. The Holy Spirit has revealed to Simeon that he will not die until he has seen the Messiah. And on a certain day, the Spirit nudges him to make a trip to the temple. What Simeon finds there, or rather, who Simeon finds, is a newborn baby, Jesus, brought to the temple by his parents in accordance with Jewish law, which requires that new mothers come to the temple to make an offering 33 days after giving birth. And Simeon knows. He takes the baby into his arms and praises God for sending the salvation of God's people into the world and for allowing him to see it. Anna, too, knows who Jesus is as soon as she sees him. She begins to tell everyone at the temple that she has seen the one who will redeem Israel. When Simeon and Anna see Jesus, their eyes are open to know immediately who he is, God's son, the Messiah, the one who will save God's people. And their mouths are open to speak about Jesus. It is a beautiful scene of God's promises fulfilled, a long waiting ended, years of praying and fasting leading to this glorious revelation. But there is an edge in this story as well. Simeon sings praise to God, and then he turns to the parents of Jesus and prophesies about the child in their arms. He says that this child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. Simeon sees that Jesus, like the prophets of old, will challenge his people in their belief and their practice of the faith. This is the Son of God who speaks good news to the poor and welcomes the outcast. He will expose hypocrisy among people in power and call all of God's people to practice mercy and justice and charity. Simeon also sees right here at the beginning where this story is going to go. Perhaps not the particulars, but he knows that like so many prophets before him, Jesus will meet opposition and violence. Jesus will call out the best in his followers, inviting them into lives of love and peace. And he will also bring out the worst in those who cannot let go of the power and hierarchy and status quo that they have known. Simeon turns to Mary, and I can imagine the compassion in his eyes as he says to this young mother, "A sword will pierce your own soul also." There is pain and suffering to come in this story, as well as redemption and healing. The falling comes before the rising. The light that Jesus shines will expose darkness as well as light, the way. And in that light, many will see what they do not want to see. Choosing to follow the way of Jesus involves change and loss and sacrifice. But the new life that Jesus offers is the way of true love and joy and peace, the way that offers life and healing and justice to all the world. The story says that Simeon receives a revelation from the Holy Spirit. Matthew uses that same phrase of revelation when he tells of the dream that Joseph has, which warns him of Herod's treachery and sends him fleeing to Egypt to keep Jesus safe. Luke uses the same phrase again to describe the way the Spirit comes to Cornelius in the book of Acts. The Gentile Cornelius, who is urged to invite Paul into his home, which leads to his whole household being baptized. In the weeks to come, we will see that the Holy Spirit plays a leading role in Luke's story of Jesus. The Spirit guides the action of the story and the people in it. And in the book of Acts, those who are baptized receive the Holy Spirit, becoming a part of the story of God's redemption, taking the work of healing and blessing and reconciling the world. New Testament scholar Melinda Quivick writes, just as the Spirit rested on Simeon and Joseph and Cornelius, on Anna and Mary and Elizabeth and on so many others, so the Spirit rests on the baptized in every age, compelling prayer and fasting, urging us to righteous deeds, calling us to see through or within our failures a pathway to God. The Holy Spirit guides the faithful to receive the Messiah, as Simeon and Anna received the baby Jesus in the temple, in order to take on God's mission of healing, consolation, and deliverance. Those who follow Jesus, who receive the Holy Spirit, will also know challenge and loss, both falling and rising, in our life of faith, and we will know the fulfillment of God's promise that the Messiah has come, that a baby born in humble circumstances will be the Prince of Peace, the one to offer salvation to all the peoples and tribes and nations of the world. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Amen.